You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Hey there, Sports Pharmacy fans. It's your host, Dr. Rage, coming at you with another episode of the Sports Pharmacy Podcast. As a pharmacist, wellness expert, and certified sports nutritionist, I'm here to bring you the latest and greatest in the world of sports and wellness. Whether you're a diehard fan or an aspiring athlete, this is the place to be for all things health and performance related. So grab your favorite sports drink, kick back, and let's dive into some engaging discussion on how to optimize your well-being and athletic potential. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button, join our Discord, and let's get on this journey together. Let's go. Welcome, Sports Pharmacy fans. Today is a cool day because I have I'm going to call you my good friend because that's what you are. Dr. Danny Hanna from the Hanna Gender Center, my first ever meeting of a gender-affirming surgeon. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
Good. I got to tell the story of how me and Dr. Hanna met. He randomly called my pharmacy looking for, I think it was a numbing cream, and they're usually pretty good about handling everything, but they texted me and said, hey, this doctor's looking for a numbing cream for one of his patients. And I was like, all right, cool. And so I looked him up and I was like, hey, now this guy might be like he might be Middle Eastern. And so I just called him up and I was like, we were just shooting the shit. I gave him my price. I didn't really say that I was Syrian. I didn't want to put that out there and be like, hey man, use us because we're same. And so I was like, hey, Dr. Hanna, after I gave you everything, remember, after I said, hey, I'll take care of you. We'll try it. See if you like it. May I ask you where you're from? Remember?
How could I forget?
Yeah, man. He told me, like, bro, me too. We're both from the same area. I was like, this is the best. And he lives here. He works here in Frisco. He's close to me. We've become really good friends. We're able to hang out with each other. It's been super chill. Met his family. Such a great guy. He was just actually telling me a little bit more about his new lifestyle that he's working on. He's starting to work out. He just said he was playing basketball, which is, first off, hilarious for me. Second, because I'm not a basketball player. Like I would look so goofy when I played. Have you played a lot when you were younger?
Probably a lot of pickup ball. Look, I'm 5'8" on a good day with heels. You know, play basketball. I use that term loosely, but look, man, I love it because you know what happens as you get on the elliptical or on a bike. It's so easy to say, screw this, I'm gonna go do something else. But when you're playing ball, you're playing, right? That's what it is. Yeah, it's a great workout.
I love how nonchalant you were when you told me. You were like, yeah, I was playing ball yesterday. I was like ball, like throwing a ball? Or you using these words I wasn't expecting with you, man. But Dr. Danny, first off, I'm a big fan of you. I just want you to first say that. I love the work that you do, the way you hold yourself. Your family's great, man. And I'm just so excited to have you on the podcast today, bro. And I know this is something that we've talked about, and I know you want to start your podcast. We can answer people's questions here about podcasting, about healthcare. We can talk about whatever the hell you want to talk about, Dr. Hanna.
Yeah, I really appreciate you, man. It's a privilege to be here.
Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Worcester, Massachusetts. I lived there for pretty much up until the age of 20, 21, interspersed with some military duties in that time. After I finished school, I really went all over with the military, then went down to New Jersey, got my master's degree, then moved up to Maine, went to medical school, then went to Philadelphia to do my surgical training, which was about 6 years. And then we established the practice in Texas. And all I do is gender-affirming surgeries these days. Complex genital reconstruction and chest reconstruction for transitioning individuals. And that's essentially my life in a nutshell. With lots of Middle Eastern pebbles.
Flair
in the way, yeah. Just to complicate things.
We have a pretty similar story in that, like, I was born and raised in North Carolina. Moved when I was 21 to go to pharmacy school. I make the joke with you multiple times that I didn't think I was a military person because I was always a big softy. So I have soft hands that I had to lotion. So I don't think I would blend in well within the military. So shout out to my veterans out there. But it's cool to see, and especially for me growing up, man, and I'll be completely honest with you, growing up in North Carolina, I wasn't exposed to a lot of Middle Eastern people around all the time. Yeah, we would go to Syria and stuff during the summer. So that was cool to see. But It was almost at a distance. It was more of, I knew I was different because I would go there and be the American, and then I would be here and I'd be the Arab. It's tough for me, but to meet somebody like you, to see that you and I both had a pretty similar journey, granted, like we went in different directions, it's really cool to see, man, to be right. I don't think I've ever told you that before.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, man. Here, so I'll tell you where I grew up in Central Mass. Back then, there was a robust Middle Eastern community. And now, because of the war and the diaspora, that people leaving Iraq, Syria, Central Mass has a big Middle Eastern community. Okay. And I don't feel like we have one here, especially where we live in the Frisco area. So you really are my only Syrian frontier. We just don't have a community here.
It's all right, man. We'll start our own community.
Yeah.
So tell us about your practice, man. I know I've been there. I've visited. It's beautiful. I love going there. The people there that work there are super sweet, super nice. You have your requisites before you would even see patients, which is what I appreciate, is that you have your own very strict guidelines that people you would operate on, people you would consult with. So that's super important to note here. And one of the things that I don't know if it's required or this is a Dr. Hanna policy, but the mental health aspect that comes behind it too, to ensure that they've been cleared with, you said, two separate psychiatrists, is that what you said?
Yeah, it depends on the procedure. Yeah, essentially it depends on the procedure. The guidelines have changed and the requirements are a little bit different, right? We follow what's called WPATH requirements, the World Professional Association of Transgender Health. They recently updated their guidance, and it used to be from them, if you wanted what we call bottom surgery or complex genital reconstruction, male to female, penis to vagina. Can I use those words?
Yeah, of course, bro.
Yeah, all right. So male to female or female to male. It used to be that we required a letter from two different independent mental health providers, at least a master's degree or higher. And now the new WPATH requirements say one mental health letter and then a letter from your hormone provider certifying that you've been on hormones. So the new guidelines are one letter, but insurance companies haven't really caught up to that. So we're following the old guidelines. So we still need those two letters from the mental health providers, the hormone letters. And it's not just about WPATH. It's not just about insurance. It's about making sure we're doing the right thing for the right patients, because these are incredibly permanent surgeries. It's not about if somebody's not ready, but you're never going to do it. It just means they're not ready now. And you need to optimize them, make them the best version of themselves, then bring them back so you can do your surgery and turn them into the best version of themselves.
So I want to be clear that like his guidelines are something that's used throughout the world or just a United States thing?
They're not rules or guidelines. It's recommendations. WPATH is an international organization. We've got USPATH for the United States and EuroPATH, and I'm sure Asia has one too, though I don't know. They all fall under the auspices. And whether or not physicians outside of the country follow that, I'm not sure. I have heard that the requirements overseas are not as rigorous. And it reflects in some of the complications that I see in patients who have gone overseas to get their surgery and come back for revisions.
These are surgeries that are pretty impossible to reverse, right? This is something that's like the whole idea here is to make this permanent for patients.
Yeah, they're next to impossible to perform. They're very complex and they're more or less impossible to reverse.
Is that a humble brag?
A little bit.
This is my guy, bro. This is my guy. Not only is he like me, he acts like me too, man. So how the hell did you end up in Texas? That's what I want to know. And did you understand the risk, is what a polite way of me putting it, of doing that here in Texas?
Yeah, dude, I didn't grow up under a rock. Of course I knew. So I'm from the Northeast. My goal was always to go back, but towards the tail end of training, and I really mean in the last 6 months, when it was Nadia, my wife and I, and we only had one child at the time. We were looking where to go. I could have gone up to the Northeast where they already have a plethora of providers, I think there's two surgeons in the Northeast that do this, but that's still a lot relative to the rest of the country. Or I thought, hey, we could do something crazy and move somewhere where there's next to no access to care. And Nadia's from Abu Dhabi originally, so the thought of moving to Texas from a climate standpoint, excited her more than moving up to the Northeast. Yeah. That's just how we ended up moving here. We didn't have any family, didn't have any friends when we came down here. And knock on wood, it's worked out. We've got a thriving practice now.
Yeah, it's good to see you, man. I know y'all moved here in what, 2020? Is that right?
I want to say 2021, I think. 2021. Yeah, summer of 21.
Yeah. Yeah, I moved here. And so after I graduated pharmacy school in Virginia, I moved here in 2012. And I've been here since then. Like, we've been lucky and blessed that we were able to build a house at the right time where the prices were not nearly what they are now. So I chose this place. At first, I hated it. My first year here was rough. I was by myself. My wife, girlfriend at the time, she wasn't here yet. She was still up in school. And so I was learning about a new place all my own. I lived in North Carolina for 21 years, lived in Richmond for 4 to 5 years. But there I had school. Like, I had friends, I had things to do. But when I came here, like you, I was by myself, man. Like, the only time I came here, bro, was when I interviewed for my job at CVS. That was the first time I ever came here. And they moved me here. They're like, we need you to open a store in the Frisco area, and then you run it. And that's how it started. It was a brand new location. So I opened it, started it, built it, did everything we need to do with it. And it wasn't until that my wife got here that things got a little bit more fun, because you need a partner in crime. You need to like do fun shit with sometimes.
Yeah, of course. In 2012, Frisco is not what it is now, right?
There was nothing. Yeah. Like, I'll send you a picture later, but where our house is, there was like our house and just fields. Like, there was nothing here. It was crazy. It's crazy to see how it is. When I moved here, the population was like, I think like 110,000. Now it's up to 220 or something like that. It's doubled since I've been here.
Oh, wow.
This place has been growing a lot, man. It's cool to see. And I'm very glad, and I'm sure you are too, to be able to like put our roots down here and build something.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. There's something very gratifying about moving somewhere where you don't know anybody and you build something from scratch. And to do it in Texas, which is not necessarily the West, but relative to where America got started, it is the West. And Texas truly is the Wild West in so many ways. Sure. So there's something very just American classic story about just getting out there and doing it. And that's also another big thing that I enjoy. But
my parents, and I'm sure you can speak to this too, my parents immigrated here in the 1980s, where like coming from, you know, home country to here, it was like a huge thing for them. And for me to just move to Texas, where it's like in an information age where I have access to them whenever I want, it's not nearly as cool, but I would like to say it's pretty similar.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So your parents moved when? In the early 80s?
82 or 83.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so my dad moved here in the late, he moved up to Massachusetts late 70s, and my mom followed in the early 80s. And you're right, there's no iPhone, no internet. I still remember up until a couple of years ago, they still have family in Syria, having to go to the store and buying them phone cards.
Yep,
so they could call back. And the phone cards are cheap, right? You could buy 5, 10 bucks and speak for a while. But back then, my dad was telling me to call back to the home country is maybe 5, 10 bucks a minute. Back in those days when minimum wage was like $2. Could you imagine?
Yeah. That's crazy.
It's wild.
And I remember the first time that my mom was able to start using like WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger with her family back in Syria. It was such a huge thing. It was like, it was super cool for them to be able to connect, because I'm sure like them being away for that long. And yeah, like I said, we used to visit every summer. It wasn't like we were like completely shut out. And just that information age has really helped people like my family, like your family, to be able to connect with back home. And I know it's tough for us right now to even discuss what's going on in Syria, which we don't have to go into. It's heartbreaking. But it's good to know that at least we're able to connect with them at some level.
Yeah, for sure. And I think from their standpoint as well, talking to family back home every once in a while, getting them even just momentarily out of the misery that is life in Syria and being able to talk to loved ones, it's helpful. It's a release in a way.
When was the last time you went?
2001. I got back, 2001. I think, August of 2001. And I was supposed to go back in 2008 or 2009 for a wedding, and I got tied up with the U.S. military just doing stuff. So I was in no position to travel at that time.
I was there right before the protests start. So I was there in 2011 is when I went. And
last time
that was the last time I went. Yeah, I can tell you that I'm probably not allowed back in the country for all the crap I like to talk So if you're listening to this, come at me if you would. Please come at me. This is Texas, bro. We're crazy out here. It's bizarre to me. And I don't know if your family can see the same thing. They said that I have been starting to act like a Texan since I've been here. Have you gotten anything like that from before, from anyone?
No, I've got the cowboy boots. I don't have a hat yet, but my 5-year-old is saying y'all.
Y'all?
So yeah, really? Yeah. My 5-year-old says y'all. So his grandparents, my parents, are flying in actually at the end of this week, and they get a kick out of Theo every time they talk to him.
Yo, I want to meet your parents. Invite us over. I want to see your parents.
Yeah. We'll have you guys over. We
can all go out to dinner. That'll be great. It'll be so much fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. They speak pretty fluent.
They'd love to meet a local. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hold on. Do they or do I?
I'm not going to ask you if you do because I already know the answer. But your parents speak fluent Arabic.
Yeah. They're fresh off the boat. They 100%.
Nice. Beautiful.
Speak, read, write. Fusha.
Oh, nice. Stuff. Love it.
Yeah.
Man, we got to work on your Arabic too.
Yeah, here's the deal. I understand 100%. I can't read or write. And I can get by, man. You put me in any Middle Eastern country, put me on the ground, I'm going to make it. And I can speak. It's just, it's janky.
It's a little bit. That's fine.
Yeah, it's janky. It's janky. It needs work.
I read at a 5-year-old level in Arabic, I think. I'm very slow. And my writing is zero. Like less than, if there's a less than zero, I'm less than zero. But I can speak it really well. I speak it and understand it very well.
Do you speak Fusha again? So Fusha is the original, the OG Arabic that's traditional across the Arab world. You don't?
No. I speak Syrian, man. We're from a very small town inside of Syria called Nebik, and we have our own like southern dialect, and I speak that. And I'll give you an example. You know what? This is Arabic 101 with Dr. Hannah and Dr. H. This sounds fun, right?
Yes.
All right. So you know how sometimes a short way of saying how are you to someone, you say kifak, right? That's just a
kifak. Yeah, that's how my wife says it.
Yeah, in Nebki we say kifok.
Kifok, interesting.
Yeah, bro,
I've never heard that.
Weird like mountain dialect is what they call it.
So we don't say either of those where I'm from. So in northeast Syria, so my mom is from Hasakye, my dad's from Qamishli, so Iraq Turkish border.
Oh, that
we
way.
Say
okay.
Shlonek.
Shlonok, yeah, that's the bad. Yeah, that's a shammy way of saying it. Yeah.
Yeah, what's your color? That's Shlonok.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true. what's another phrase? Do you know how to say head?
Rosak.
We say Rosak. It's weird. But see, things like that, like just a vowel difference. But I mean, I can speak both. I speak traditional, like Arabic, but also speak what we call Nebki, the two different types. Yeah.
Interesting. Dude, when you went back in 11, your hometown, was it still small, tiny, nothing going on?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They still had like internet cafes there, bro.
What a dream, man.
Probably never live there permanently, but
sure,
it felt like everybody knew me. It's one of those places. Like they just knew me because of my last name. Like,
yeah,
the road that we live on is our last name road. That's what it's called. Mm-hmm. And so everybody knows that street is like one of the main streets. So my uncles, aunts all own businesses along there. They own like restaurants. Yeah. My grandfather, my mom's dad, may rest in peace. He owned like a little store with like snacks and stuff like that. I used to go into the back and steal stuff from his garage because he had all the snacks back there. Yeah. Sorry. He doesn't get here. We can't do anything now about it. But I have so many fond memories of being there, man. And last time we went, Dad rented like a big bus and took our entire family around different parts of Syria, which was so fun to see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that...
Oh, I love that.
Like you look at things here, they're like, 200-300 years old. There it's like 2,000, 3,000 years old. It's such a difference, especially in the old city of Damascus, which is still the oldest capital city in the world. It's just, there's nothing like it.
I never spent as much time in Damascus. Usually when we landed, they whisked... My family
right
whisked us away up to the northeast, but I did a Syrian tour once. I think it was the last time I went. Palmyra?
Yep.
Unbelievable. I forget. I don't know what they call it in English. That's Qalat al-Husan, but there's a Crusader castle somewhere in there.
Oh, yeah. That's how I got my name, by the way. That's how I got my
name. Oh, is it really?
The sword that he wielded was me. It was Husan. That's what they called it.
Oh, how about that, bro? Beautiful.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah. It's heartbreaking, man. Like I would love to go back. My mom went back 2 years ago. I don't know if I told you. She went back. Yeah.
What was that like?
I'll share with the audience. It was, they have power for 1 hour a day, bro. One hour a day. Imagine like what we went through that snowstorm here that 1 year where our power would go in and out like every 20, 30 minutes. That's your life permanently. That's what it's like your whole life. How do you function? How do you charge your stuff? How do you watch the news? How do you get any cyber information, man?
Mm-hmm. Did she have water?
Like, she had water.
Did they even have running water?
Okay. That's only because we had wells. Like, they have their own wells.
Gotcha. So the common story, so my family that remains there, Nadia's family, running water, maybe half an hour a day, half an hour to 2 hours a day.
Damn.
Yeah, it's terrible. Terrible.
I didn't mean to get all gloomy with everyone on the show here, but it's hard to see, hard to like think about. We're blessed here. Like, we're blessed to be able to help people the way that we want. We're blessed that we've worked hard. I'm proud to say I've worked my ass off, man. I'm Dr. Hannah. I know you worked your ass off to do this too. We went into ventures at this close to the same time to build something to help a community, right? And I know you get a lot of shit. I know you do, bro. I've seen it. I'm on your TikTok lives. I've seen it. But I truly believe you help people better than anybody else could help the people too. That's the thing, what I appreciate most.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you. One of the things I'll tell you is something I've been blessed with is perspective. And it's allowed me to just achieve incredible things because anytime I faced any sort of hardship, med school, training, military, just thinking back on where I'm supposed to be in Syria right now. My dad just made a decision one day, hey, he was going to come to America. And that changed generations of a family and individuals that go past them. Just that one little decision. And America wasn't really anything crazy back then when you moved in the 70s
and
80s. You could get a visa like that. You buy a ticket, stamp visa, there's no wait list. And all of a sudden, America became the economic powerhouse that it is now. But just thinking about family back home and the opportunity that I have, and that they have really allowed me to just, hey, put your head down, plug through it, and that's it.
Shout out to our dads, man. Shout out to our dads for making that terrifying jump. My dad moved from Damascus, Syria to Omaha, Nebraska to go to school. That's what he decided to do. And dude, shout out to him for taking a risk like that, bro. I thought I was taking a risk when I moved to Texas. My man flew across an ocean to a country he's never been to before, a language he doesn't speak. To Omaha, Nebraska. I'm sorry to my Nebraska people out there, but wow.
Of all places, how about that?
Yeah, he had a friend move there and he was like, all right, I'll go to school there. He got his master's at the University of Nebraska.
How long until he left Nebraska?
2 years. He finished his master's and then went and got his PhD at NC State University in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Oh, wow. And that's where they stayed.
And that's where my mom, when he got to Raleigh, that's when my mom moved here. And then I was born in Raleigh. And then after he finished his PhD and everything, that's when he moved to Greensboro.
Okay.
Yeah. Shout out to North Carolina. Shout out to North Carolina. Shout out to Massachusetts, Central Mass boy.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I was in Raleigh, I think last year, February, taking my boards, the last step of my boards. Oral exam.
You told me that. Nice.
Yeah.
That's a huge facility for healthcare over there in Raleigh, man. The whole research triangle is right there. It's crazy.
Yeah. Lots of healthcare.
Dr. Hannah, this has been so much fun, bro. Anything else that you want to leave with my audience, man? Where can we find you on socials?
TikTok, Dr. Danny Hannah. Instagram, Dr. Danny Hannah. I think I have a Facebook. I'm not sure. But those would be the two main ones. And then my website, HannahGenderCenter.com. Yeah.
Hey, nice, man. That's amazing. Check him out at Dr. Hannah, my man, bro. I hope to see you when your parents come in, bro. I'd love to see them. And hey, man, keep doing big things, bro. I'm real proud of you.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Thanks for the kind words.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, consider giving us a 5-star review anywhere that you get your episodes. Follow us at Sports Pharmacy Pod, as well as me, your host, at Dr. Mixalot. Join our Discord server for more interactions with me and fellow listeners. As always, stay well, stay hydrated, and I will catch you next time.